call the city council meeting to order for Hamburg, 7 o'clock. We all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. If anybody from the public has a comment that they want to make other than what's on the agenda, feel free to come up to the seats. If not, we'll move on to the agenda review.
Mayor, Council, I have nothing to add. Just to note that the agenda has been updated from Friday. Items added were December claims, one added claim for December, and then also the letter from Richard Odoms.
Anybody else have anything else they'd like to add to the agenda or remove from the consent agenda to talk about? So as entertain a motion to approve the agenda as adopted.
So be it.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Representative Nash, would like to take the hot seat?
Love to. Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thanks for having me in. I do enjoy stopping into the cities that I serve during your city council time to chat about things that are important to you, but also to kind of give you an update as to where things were in the session and where we're heading in the session that starts next week. The previous session, I think, was from the perspective of those of us that live in a more rural part of the state. We invested very heavily in roads and bridges. I'm sure Jeremy can give me the number off the top of his head that we provided in the Small Cities Fund. If not, Mr. Mayor, you can flog him later. You should have gotten a payment from the state for the Small Cities Fund. It was something that we pushed very hard for. You've had it in years past. Other cities have gotten it as well. And it was for those cities that are below 5,000. You previously didn't get any money to maintain your roads, but cities that are above 5,000, there was some magic that the state decided years ago that they needed some help to preserve the streets for seal coat, crack seal, different things like that. When I was a freshman, four years ago, we came up with the idea that we should be doing the same for cities that are below 5,000. So we floated the idea, and it became a one-time test for that. And I'm glad to say that we have now made it something that is ongoing. So every city that is below 5,000 will get a stipend or a payment from the state based on the number of road miles that you've got, the number of residents that you've got, and it's a formula that I'm not a math major, so I don't even want to figure out how they came up with it, but you get that money. An additional thing that happened this year, since we also are surrounded by farms and we live near our friends in the township. We also fought very hard for townships to get the same sort of payment. Because as we all know, township roads and cities that are below 5,000, all roads wear down just like they do in the big cities as well. So that was something that we pushed very hard for. And I've heard from mayors and council members from around my district and around the state that it is something that really props up your budget, particularly as it comes to maintaining the streets. And it's going to be a stark reality here in a couple of weeks when we start to thaw and the winter has had its way. So that was a big deal. That's something we were very pleased to get done. That was in our transportation bill. And there were some other things in the transportation bill that I personally put there that I know is an important thing for those of us that live in the 7-county metro, are largely impacted by the Met Council, but are also in the same breath largely ignored by the Met Council. And that was a bill that I had that removed the state from responsibility for paying for maintenance and operations for the very controversial and yet to be built Southwest Light Rail Line. If you'll remember, 3 years ago, the legislature made a decision not to fund that. And immediately thereafter, there was a joint powers agreement that was created by Hennepin County and some of the cities. And the beauty of being a deer hunter is sometimes you get to sit in your stand and nothing's happening, so you have nothing to do but think. So it was one of those days, and I was in my deer stand, and I realized that even though we didn't appropriate the money for Southwest, the state was still going to be on the hook for maintaining and operating and paying for engineering fees and all those different things. And I thought, well, there's a great idea for a bill. So once I got back to the legislature, I drafted a bill that said the state will be out of the business of paying for Southwest Light Rail. I've never had to fight for anything as hard as that, but here's the deal. We were able to remove the taxpayer of Minnesota from that and got the taxpayer of Minnesota off the hook for about $58 to $62 million a year. So that was a lot of fun. I will have to admit that making that change to the Met Council's budget was a big deal, because for the people that I serve, it's hard to get a meeting, let alone a call back from somebody on the Met Council, and they impact our sewer, they impact our roads, they impact housing in some communities, and it's my idea that if they're going to be that invasive, then I'm going to also make sure that the people that I represent aren't on the hook for an experiment that thus far isn't really working. You probably noticed in our bonding bill and our transportation bill that we put in a lot of money for roads and bridges. I'm very pleased with that. You know, again, whenever somebody from the Capitol drives out to 47A where we all live, they say, Representative Nash, you live in the sticks. And I'm proud to say, yeah, you know, we may not live in the sticks, but you can see it really close from there. We're not a metro community necessarily. We like it that way. And we're trying to remind people that live in the downtown areas that there are roads that still need maintenance and bridges that need maintenance that aren't, and this is a revolutionary idea, in downtown St. Paul or Minneapolis. This is something that we live with every day, and we've reminded them that in the non-metro areas that roads and bridges are important. So we made a huge investment in that. You know, we've made investments in reducing taxes on small businesses, farmers. We've made it easier for kids to go to private school through their parents. We've done some major work to essentially get the St. Paul government off your back and make significant investments in the cities that we all live in and that I represent. Looking ahead, we're starting next week. We're going to have to overcome some funding challenges that the governor defunded the legislature, so we'll be dealing with that probably for the first week. And the message there that I got clearly from each of you and many of the cities that I represent is that you want your voice heard in St. Paul, so defunding the legislature is not exactly a popular idea with folks. We're going to once again push very hard for more investment in roads and bridges if we're going to have a bonding bill, and that's still not determined. But if we do have a bonding bill, we're going to be putting more money into roads and bridges. And a conversation that I've had with Jeremy and the mayor and several of you that have stopped by my office is the fact that there is need for cities to have some help as it relates to water towers and things like that. So most of you that have followed me at all know that I'm not a huge fan of bonding, but it is a practical reality that we do have fixed assets that we have to make sure get maintained. So I've worked closely with the bonding chair to put money into the PFA account so that the PFA account can then also write checks out to those cities that qualify. And I would be shocked if you guys don't qualify for some PFA assistance. I don't know where you are in that, and I would love to hear that so that I can know that as we head into session. So maybe I'll take a break and let you tell me where you are on the PFA grant writing process.
Currently, right now, we're working with our city engineer, and they're putting together the project priority listing for the pointing for PFA.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at right now on that. I believe that it's got to be in by May. They were, I think March, they were hoping to have it finished.
Okay. Well, I understand, having been in each of your seats when I was in Waconia that it's an important thing to both attracting new people to live here, but then protecting the people that do live here. So I am listening, and I am trying to make sure that we get things through the proper channels that will allow you guys to successfully get some assistance to do the water tower. Nobody wants to be on the city council when something bad happens and you come back and say, well, if we only had a better water tower, we could have taken care of things. So I understand, and I am working hard to get that taken care of. So.
Council, any questions for Representative Nash? Thoughts?
That many.
Keep up the good work.
Well, along those lines, several of you have come down to the Capitol, and I know not everybody has the ability to get away from work. Know that I will be locked up there probably most of the next, I don't know, 12 or 13 weeks, and I would love for you to come down for a couple reasons. One, it's your Capitol, it's your house, and for you all as well in the audience, you should come down and visit. I'm always happy to hear from you. I've got some information here how you can get a hold of me. But secondly, it's always nice to see what I call normal people come down for a visit to the Capitol, because sometimes normal people are in short supply at the Capitol. And it's always nice to be able to take you to committee with me or have you testify on a bill that will ultimately benefit you all, because it just means more than having either myself or a lobbyist who's lobbying for the same thing come down. It means a lot to other members to see somebody who took time out of their day to drive down and say, look, this is impacting real people in real cities on Main Street, Minnesota, and we need your help. So if you could make some time to do that over the course of the next couple of weeks, that would be fantastic. I'm always happy to do so, very flexible, would love to have you come out. And I say that to the folks in the audience, for those of you that have kids or wherever, if you'd like to come down. It's a beautiful building, and it's now been renovated for about a year. It's spectacular, and it's a lot of fun to go and tour around. So I left some information here. It's a session update from the last time and talks about some of the things that we were able to get done. But if you have ideas on things that you would like to see, you know, I'm probably the easiest guy to get a hold of. I've published my cell phone number since the day I was first elected as a city council member, mostly because I work for you, and you should be able to get a hold of me. And I mean that very clearly and honestly, that if you have something that's important to you, it's important to me. So I would love to hear ideas or things that you want changed. So if there are no other questions.
Well, I know Jeremy and I, we've talked about looking at February 26th or 27th. You'd want to have your administrative aide get a hold of the city and tell us which day is better.
Well, if you'd like to send an email, I'm in the middle of a transition. My legislative assistant has been promoted, and I'm waiting for my new LA to show up. So if you send an email, it'll be in the inbox, and we're doing that sort of by committee. Four or five of us are all watching the email, and I get about 600 emails a day. So I want to make sure that we're staying on top of that. But
sounds good.
Anything else? Well, again, thanks for the opportunity to represent.
One thing, Mr. Nash, before you go.
Okay.
Not really a big thing, but I find it kind of odd. We have to do unemployment reporting quarterly. And one of those reporting requirements is to include firefighters for unemployment, which are exempt, which seems a bit redundant to me that on that form that we report them, and then when a firefighter files for unemployment, then we got to go to court to fight it. It just seems redundant to me that if they're exempt under state statutes based on their hours, isn't there something we can do with that form that would say that they're exempt versus having to go through all the paperwork from a state standpoint and from a city standpoint?
I'm taking notes.
Okay. And I can shoot you an email to follow up on that, too. Because we've had two members file for unemployment, and then I got to go and fight it and go through a hearing and then do this paperwork. And it's kind of, to me, seems redundant when we could just basically say they're exempt, boom, send in the report. I understand maybe why they want the statistics.
Sure.
You know, but to have to jump through all them hoops for something that's exempt seems, like I said, a little bit redundant.
Okay. Okay. I'm happy to look into that. Feel free to reach out to me. Let's see. Today's Tuesday. Maybe ping me on Tuesday of next week.
Okay.
That's when we'll be heading back into session. That's where I have access to some of our researchers who can give me answers quickly.
Okay.
But that does sound sort of stupid. And I'm all for getting rid of stupid extra paperwork.
Anything else from the council?
Nope.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much, and I'll look to hear from you. And then as you get closer to the filing period for your PFA grants,
yeah.
I'd be happy to do a letter of support for that as well.
Okay. Perfect.
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
All right, we'll move on then to Mike Stewie in the proposed development.
Chris, you want to touch base on the...
So, March 21st, 22nd, there is a day down at the Capitol for Legislative Conference for Cities. I strongly encourage any of the council that if you can make it, awesome. If not, I can understand with work duties and that as well, but... the bigger presence we can have down there throughout the legislative session this year, the better opportunity we'll have to obtain funds, hopefully, and not have to pass on the cost of a $1.2 million water tower onto all of our shoulders. So, but if you can, awesome. Just let Jeremy know if you're going to be able to. I plan to attend, so hopefully we can make a good showing on that as well. Now we'll move on to Mike Stewie, proposed development in parcel 11.02.
Mike seems to be MIA here, but I will just briefly go over. Am I correct in saying, Tamara, you said he was coming to the meeting?
Yeah.
So,
right on.
I don't know where he is at the moment, but what he's looking to do, and this is very prelim, just paperwork right now. Nothing I know formal or in the works. But what he was looking to do is draw a line here and annex about 3.3 acres in. So it'll be this parcel here. So what he'd be looking to do is extend the road and bring a road in here. I don't know if he's going to do a cul-de-sac type road here. And what he wants to add in is six twin units is what he's looking to do. Kind of the first steps I like to do is just talk with our city engineers to see if that's even a feasible, just to basically get a rough number, what we're going to be looking at to extend streets, water, sewer, and stormwater. So I don't know what council's wishes are without him here. I guess I wouldn't ask to take any action, you know, unless he would show up during the meeting here yet. But if he was to come here and propose this from a council standpoint, the first measure we would take is to basically get a rough idea from our engineers to get a rough estimate number as to what we're looking at to extend the street and then bring water and sewer and stormwater into that street too. So that would kind of be... Well, the first step would be to have discussions with Mr. Stewie, but he's not here tonight, so I don't know what his intentions are. But I guess we'll give him time and see if he shows up later in the meeting.
Anybody from the public have a question that they want us to make sure we inquire about or any concerns as this potential development develops?
I ain't wondering if he ain't in wetland.
I was going to say, it's pretty low back there.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there'd have to be a pond or something there, or maybe just wetlands.
As far as I know, is he had it surveyed from right here mm-hmm. to across?
No,
he had this area surveyed.
I know right about where your arrow is. Many years ago, there was a huge hole dug there, and there was a bunch of garbage in there. I mean, that's none of our concern. He'd have to deal with that
right.
to build on that, but I know they buried a a lot of garbage in there way back when I first moved into town back in the 70s. So that I'm aware of. I know that for a fact.
It does say wetland on the city map that's on the, I don't even know. Oh, what do you call it when each house has a designated use and business?
Zoning?
On the zoning map, it says wetland right there. Because right across the street, where our property is, it says the same thing on that same spot, across, right there, yeah. And it does pool a whole lot of water there.
Yeah, and he would have to go through the process to do a wetland delineation, which that can take, quite some time. That can take up to a year.
And that's not even say he's going to get it granted.
Right.
I'd be very shocked if that's not wetland.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he may run into very similar issues that we tried to talk about with the industrial.
Exactly.
So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, and ultimately the bottom line comes down. Basically you're probably going to be looking at, you know, at most, if you were to split each 6 multi-unit into 12 parcels, so you'd have 12 parcels in here. So what you got to look at is figure out what your cost is for all the utilities. Mm-hmm. You know, is it even feasible to add the 12 units? You know, because you're probably looking at, I bet you're pushing $250,000 at least.
I don't think you'd get it done, Jeremy, for $250,000.
Yeah. Because you got to extend this street and all the way in here. And I think when we looked at Lewis's, that was around 180.
Yeah.
So.
And we just got to come off the end of the street with Lewis's.
Right.
You'd have to go down the township road or.
Yep.
So. Has anything happened with Lewis's at all, or is she still talking about doing that?
She's still talking about it, but. One of the things she brought forth to me is because of the cost, is she wanted to move forward and kind of do it as a private venture. I'm a bit leery about doing a private road and private venture. So I've kind of talked to our engineers, and they were going to do some asking around to see any other cities have done anything of that nature. So basically what she's looking to do is to do...
Isn't the twin homes over by the preserve?
That is private, yes.
How does that work then? You're private, but then...
But then you got an association, got to pay dues.
I was going to say, and you got...
Then they're responsible for taking care of the street, road, and all that, and the city isn't. Okay. So I don't know. I haven't got a definite, so like I said, the street ends here.
But we still would supply them with sewer and water and stuff, right?
Correct.
Mike, you want to come and take the hot seat here? We're talking about you right now, so.
Where you want me?
Ears were burning.
Right in the big seat. If you want to sign in. Just remind everybody who's in the audience, if you could sign in as well before you leave, we need to have an account of those who are in attendance as well.
Like I just explained, everybody, it's 3.3 acres roughly about, right, that you're looking possibly to annex in?
I had it, we had it surveyed, and it came up 3.60 acres.
Okay. It's still coming off this line pretty much?
The corner, up. You got to go up to that corner.
So you're going to go all the way up here?
Yeah, and bring it straight across.
Okay. One of the things we... talked about is basically you're kind of looking to extend the street here and then bring it in here.
correct?
I don't know how, you know, I have to turn it over to a developer, and whatever is most feasible, I suppose that would probably be the way to go. There, I don't know, is there a, between Buckentine's house, is there a, an easement in the, right in there, of city easement? Right there?
I don't think there is. I believe everything's in the street.
That's all private?
I do believe so, because when Clarence was on the council, he'd always park his gravel truck there.
Yeah.
And I questioned him once about it when I was first on the council, and he had said, that's mine. He said, that does not, I thought it was maybe a through street from past my place too.
But
he
said, all utilities are.
He told me at one time, no.
Do you know, is there any wetland?
No.
Within the property? Or?
No. No wetland. We're proposing a townhome development. I'm working with a realtor on this project, and I run it by Jeremy a number of weeks ago, and I think it would be a definite asset to the city if there was something of that nature in the city. But the developer says to me, you gotta get the city to work with you on the project, and I don't know what your, you know, what your charges are in a city. I'm sure you have your basic charges. I don't know how much of a leadway you got. With sewer and water, that's your biggest item. And if you have things set in stone for something of that nature, or if it's...
Typically, if it would be a go, we would order a feasibility report. First thing I would do, before you get into the feasibility report, which is going to cost, you know, $5,000, is get a rough, real rough number from the engineer what it's going to cost to extend the services.
Yeah, see, and that, okay. I'm not going to go into this project until I have a developer by my side who's willing to go along with me in the project and basically take it over. And I want to be able to sell him this project, but I need the city to be working with me as well. You know? One developer already declined from he's involved in Norwood Young America right now in their hot housing project, Scott Loomis. I believe it's Loomis Homes or something like that. And he said, these small cities, they don't cooperate with developers or builders. So therefore, he said, I hate to say it, but I'm not going to stick my neck out at Hamburg, in Hamburg.
What type of cooperation is he looking for, or what type of cooperation is the...
Well, it's got to be financially feasible, or they're not going to go into it.
Well, I understand that part, but...
I don't know.
And typically, Mike, what we would do if we did this type of development, we would order the improvements through the city. And basically what we would do then is assess them to each lot. So if it was, you know, say you got 10 lots and it's $300,000, you know, that's going to be, you know, $30,000 per lot, just an assessment.
Is that in stone? These numbers?
No.
No.
These are just examples.
Example. Okay.
So I don't know what the cost is. Like I said, the first thing we'd want to do is get a rough draft, just real rough estimates, kind of what the going rates are to extend the water, sewer, storm, and streets.
Yeah. Good idea.
You know, then that way at least we have a rough number. We can look at, is it feasible?
You know, now if it comes in at, you know, $500,000, 50, you know, and say it's 10 lots,
that ain't,
you know,
feasible.
Is that feasible?
No.
So that's typically what I like to do before you dump a bunch of money into it for any engineering, reviewing your time, developer's time. You know, the other thing you also got to consider is, you know, whoever develops it's going to have grading. They're going to have grading plans. So they got to look at what that cost is for the.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Exactly. Now, bottom line is, does the city, are they enthused about something of this nature? Are they willing bend over backwards or go into the project with the intent that they're not going to, you don't want to lose any money, but yet you're not going to gouge the contractor for getting into the project, developing it. And I was doing some rough sketches myself on the property, and I don't know if I get it, once I get a developer, I got Castle Ridge is another developer that I've been in contact with. And he hasn't looked at the property yet, but the way I had it figured, we can put 5 double units in that 3.6 acres. So that would be 10 parcels. So you can, use that as a, but they might come in and say, we can do better than that. We can do more than that. I don't know what they can stick in there. And I don't know how they would lay it out. Like you say, you got to get an engineer involved. And
really, I think we would need a layout first of this area in order to even have the engineer come in, because I don't know if the street's coming here and coming in. You know, I mean, that's what I needed, some type of layout so I know.
I can give you my opinion of the layout. There's 3 existing homes adjacent to the property, and if you would put 2 double units right behind them and run them east and west just like that, 2 double units, and then go to that area, and there'd be 1 double unit on the east side, and then 2 double units again on the north side. And then there would be something, I don't know how you would fill in the center, if that would be a
cul-de-sac
or something of that nature. Once again, the only thing I've done so far was get it surveyed. And that's as far as until now, coming here. And with your blessings on this project, we'll proceed as well. But I gotta get a developer involved in it. And once that happens, then I guess we come back to the council meeting again with step 2. I'm not going to annex the property into the city until everything is a go.
Yeah, I think that would be a prudent way to do it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Not to do it until you actually have a project. Otherwise,
yeah,
zoning issues internally might come into an issue when you try to rip the land out.
Right.
The thing with these developers, Mike, is I work with them all the time, and what you see is they like Chaska, Chanhassen, where there's money. Out here for us, there's no money. And they gotta, basically, the developer has to foot the bill. And they don't like to do that. That's why that one walked away on you already.
Yeah.
And there's just no money. I mean, we tried with, keep the business in town here, the Timberline and stuff, but just, we couldn't do it because we just don't have the money to do it. It costs a lot of money to run sewer and water and stuff out. But I'd love to see you do it. I'd love to see it, you know, to see the town grow. But if you don't have the resource, you don't have the financial backing.
I don't know what the city has, or I don't know what it would take in order for it to accept something of this nature. You know, I know you got your cost, you got your input costs, And eventually you're going to recoup that with tax money, you know. So I don't know if I don't know if you can go down the road, the city itself, to government money or some kind of expansion money or something. I don't know.
I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend the city go in it that they're, if it's a goal, that all costs are getting assessed back into the property.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I would require is a letter of credit of 125% to cover, to make sure that in case the developer backed out, that we cover our expenses.
Exactly. Yeah, of course.
The city's not in a financial position to, you know, take on, you know, a project of that nature where we could possibly get on the hook for, you know, some added costs. I mean, it really would have to all go back into the property.
And then your assessments are going to be so high, it's just most of your developers are just going to say,
yeah,
it's not feasible.
Exactly. You know, so do we want something like this? I think we need it. I think the city needs it. You know,
there's a definite need with the aging population to have some type of single level type.
I can think of how many couples, families that left.
I mean, these people here may like their open space as they're here tonight, you know. And I guess, you know, always welcome to the neighbors' thoughts of the development going in here.
Any neighbors here?
All of
just like on that.
Oh wow. You're right.
I mean, certainly as someone that lives there, it makes sense for us to attend so we know what's happening, right? So I think that's why we're here tonight is because we've heard a little bits and we
want to
know what.
I'm glad you're all here.
What's going on?
I'm glad you're. Are you excited about it, or are you hesitant, or what's your feelings?
Well, you know, there's always two sides. Living right there, you know, not really. I mean, I want to see the town grow, but the reason I bought that house is because it's on the end of town. So, I mean, that's my personal thought. But it's not that I don't want to see the town grow.
Well, that whole property is all planned for future development, all that property.
My biggest concern, there's open townhouses in Norwood, Glencoe, Hutchinson. There's open lots in Norwood, Glencoe, Hutchinson. Things have gotten built and no one's in them. What are you going to do when this gets developed and it sits empty?
That's not the intent.
I know it's not the intent.
That's not the intent. They're building townhomes in Young America, and as fast as they're building them, they're being sold. And there's how many different families from Hamburg haven't moved there and bought those townhomes? And that's that. I wish they would all be here yet, that we had that opportunity to keep them people here. We don't have nothing to offer. That's my thinking. I'm not going to make a ton of money on that.
How are you going to attract people to come to Hamburg versus Norwood or Glencore or Hutchinson? What are you going to do different?
What are we going to do different? In my opinion, I would like to see the townhomes all ground level, no stairs involved, so it's basically for seniors, something to attract them to come here. We could build some with a basement. Some people say we want more room. Well, then you build a townhouse accordingly. But that's my opinion in order to sell it to seniors. I don't know. I appreciate your concern that you're all here. I appreciate that. But if the city of Hamburg is going to grow, they need something like that. And if the townhomes don't sell, that's not your problem.
It is, because it's going to be a major eyesore.
Well, they're going to get sold.
Well, there's a lot still sitting in the green aisle. That whole development, nothing's happening.
Oh, I don't know. I still feel the city of Hamburg can use it. And I don't think it's going to be an eyesore for you.
Why townhomes?
like why 20, you know, why not start off, you know, because like you said, that whole area you have up there is eventually future development. You know, why start off with townhomes? Why not? Is it feasible to start off with, let's say, 3 or 4, you know, mid-size?
I had one developer said the same thing.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Why don't you put homes in there versus townhomes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Because we need townhomes. I feel we need them.
Yeah, okay.
And I think the city council, if they look at the project or look at what the city has, we don't have something like that to offer the people.
Well, it's just that part of town is also one of the older parts of town where you stick something brand new townhome, it wrecks something inherent in its beauty, which is what attracted us here. You know, we moved from out of state, so you put brand new townhomes right next to us. It's like, why did we do
that? You think that's going to be a nice?
I do, but
well, I think
I'm the one that has to look at it.
Yeah, I think you just have to look at everything as a, you know, what's it going to look like 50 years from now, and you know, you have 5 townhomes there. And the rest of the development is homes, it's not going to be an eyesore. You know, and if you want to put in homes there, you put in a split level home, and you got this big house sticking up there behind you versus all the rattlers on that street, you know, I think a house, personally, would be out of place there. Although that Buckentine house is a very beautiful two-story house, I'll grant you that. He did a heck of a job with that house on the corner.
That's right, he's a terrible neighbor. So.
Terrible neighbor?
Terrible neighbor. Terrible neighbor.
I don't know.
And it fits, right? It looks perfect on that street.
What's that?
Well, I know one of the things that we've talked about at the Carver County years ago that meets every quarter, and that has been a lot of talk about senior housing and the need for it in the county. And a lot of it is around the fact that seniors want to stay at home. They don't want to go to the harbor. They don't want to go to the haven. They don't want to go to those facilities. They want to go to stay in the communities in which they were born and raised. And there's a big push that they're looking for people to build places that are just one level, no stairs, nothing like that. Is this a good location for it? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we're going to put the numbers to the paper before we can really determine whether or not that's going to make sense, because it may come back that there's 10 units that get to go in there, but it's $500,000 of assessments. And Mike's partner in crime there may say, we can't do that. We can't put that cost in addition to the cost of everything else. Yeah. And then this, you know, citizens, you guys are very valuable in the conversation as well. You know, to be able to give some guidance to the area, you know, and if it's feasible to go a different route and makes more sense, then maybe this way that the developer goes, we don't do it. I think from what I'm hearing, we're really in stage one of stage one.
Prelim.
Yeah.
Even.
And so I think what the next step would be is, Mike, if you guys could figure out a rough map of what you're looking at. I know we kind of talked a little bit about here tonight about what you were thinking, and get that to Jeremy. And then Jeremy could go ahead and just kind of get some rough ideas of what it's going to cost to put the road up there, what it's going to cost.
You know, I can, you can put down my, what I proposed here in my plans, but the developer might come along and say, we can do better than that. We can do this with this acreage.
Right, and that's what I mean.
Yeah, this way we would just get a rough estimate for numbers for you.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. Is that your house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's if we can get kind of a general layout of what we're looking at, just as a preliminary, then we should be able to get you a rough number, so as you continue to have conversations with your developer, you can say, okay, if we lay it out this way, this is what the city is looking at. But if he has a better way of laying it out,
why don't you go with what I presented, and if If I get a developer to come along and he looks at what we got there and measures it up and says, I got a different plan, I'll bring it right to you. If there's a change, then
that work for you, gentlemen? Yeah, because if he can get street footage in that, then he can turn it over to Justin, and Justin's going to go by how much it's costing to put in a water main per footage. We need to know the street footage and stuff like that, how far we got to go with stuff, hydrants, stuff like that. Then Justin can start adding that up and give you just a rough ballpark figure. Not anything's going to be in stone, but at least he's got, if it's 600 feet of street this way and 1,000 feet of street that way or whatever, then he knows what it needs for sewer.
That's basically all I need. Yeah. You know, what are we looking? You know, are we going to, probably, I'm thinking you cut this in half, or are you going to put the street? So what I need to know is that footage, and then how far back into the property.
I didn't get the final numbers back from Avery. I thought I would have something in writing now, but I don't. I got the acreage, but I don't have the footage. You know?
You got the survey?
Huh?
You got the survey of the property? They give you a survey of the property?
It's staked out. The corners and...
Yeah, but did they give you a paper survey?
No.
You should get a copy of that. And if you could get that to me, that'd be
better. When I get it, I'll bring it in.
It's perfect.
Yeah. But I thought I would have something by now, but I haven't. Other than he marked the corners and told me there's 3.60 acres in that area.
Council, anything else? Any other questions for Mr. Stewie?
I think it's pretty much been covered.
Any questions you have, Mike?
Pretty preliminary.
Public, anything else?
Okay. When did you think you wanted to go with something?
I don't have a clue.
Oh,
I got to get a developer that's going to come on board.
Okay.
There's a couple developers that have to get back to me yet. Like I say, the one that was initially on my list, he says they play hardball. You guys play hardball.
Oh.
Too hard to work with. And
I don't think the city would play hardball.
Well, I'm just saying that's what he says. When you get out any further from Waconia. Norwood.
We don't have the funding that's Chaska
Chan has. See, then they gotta bite the bullet.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what their definition of hardball.
Hardball.
Yeah. They're looking for a buck from us.
Yeah.
We don't have a buck to give them.
Yeah. And I understand that. But if you're willing to play ball with them, if you're willing to sit down and look at the project and develop it with us, that's all we can ask. But if it's not financially feasible, the same thing might happen that happened next door. But I think the initial cost of that property next door was...
A little high.
As far as extending your sewer and water, does that run down the street? Does that
run
it straight up?
Does up that Jacob? Go down and in?
So that is really no problem at all, right?
No, I'd just be extending it from here.
Yeah.
Well, what would be annexed in then? Probably the road would be rebuilt, curb and gutter, blacktop.
Yep.
Got to take that all into consideration.
Yep. Water, sewer, storm, all that.
And that expense is passed on to the contractor, developer?
Yeah, unless he's, you know, looking to do it privately, but if we're going to take it on as a Chapter 429 project, we'll take it on, we'll bid it out, and then whatever the bids and costs will come in, you know, we'd go through the assessment hearing process also, and then assess it back into each individual lot per front linear footage.
Who determines that cost? Your engineers, or where do you pull your numbers from?
Well, we're going to pull the numbers from the engineers. If we get to the point, say we're going to move forward, we would have a few.
You're not going to move forward either until everything is a goal. Then,
well, right. Yeah. So say we get to that point. We'd have a feasibility report drafted by our engineers, which would tell us their best educated guess of what it's going to cost. And then they can put together an assessment roll also, which will tell you what's going to get assessed back into each lot.
Yeah.
So like I said, the simple math, the simple thing to do, figure out the footage we need, figure out what that cost is, divide it by 10. It's roughly going to give you a number of, you know, but like I said, there's other things that aren't included in there. We, you know, engineering fees, you know, any other developmental type fees like grading and those expenses.
There might be a lot of excavating to be done here too to make it,
right.
You
right.
know, ready for.
The biggest problem I see is how you're going to get the water out back there. Because our storm sewer, the deepest one we've got is straight down from Steve, right out from the left field ballpark, and it's not very deep.
Yeah, and then if you're running into that issue,
that's where we probably wind up hooking on.
And if you got to put a pond in somewhere, that adds.
So you'd either have to fill that all up, bring that all up with fill, so that you can keep your storm sewer, get it up there to get the drainage to come out. Otherwise, you'd have to go down to the ditch or something, and then now you're talking about going through by Donnie Dahman or.
There's an existing tile that runs from the center of that property northeast, and it drains.
The great question is, what shape is it in?
And how big is it?
Two, is the county going to allow you to discharge without having a sediment pond?
Retention pond.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, no, that's.
You put tile in there 20
It's not
years
like it was years ago. There's a lot of rules and regulations that we have to follow now. When it comes into, you know, accordance to your comp plan, accordance to your sewer plan, stormwater. Stormwater gets to be a big thing too now because you got to have the retention pond. And that's kind of really what killed the deal out here, was it requiring the requirement of a retention pond.
There's a tile out here, Mike, that goes down too. And we questioned about that and they laughed at us. No, that's got to be an almost RCP pipe. No, you can't.
Well, let's get the rough estimate. I mean, we can sit here until midnight going over what. So, but I definitely think if the project's feasible, it is something. I mean, we do want to see the city expand. The nice thing about it is it would hopefully potentially reduce our tax base on all of our properties, which would be kind of a nice relief to have. We'll work with getting the rough estimate. And we'll go from there.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, just a reminder, if everybody can sign in up here, that'd be awesome before you leave for that. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, too. Move on to Old City Business, Minnesota Community Awareness Emergency Response, or CORE meeting. I know myself and Councilman Trebish and Jeremy attended the meeting along with, I believe there were three of our firefighters, is that right?
Yeah.
And that ironic thing, after we had that meeting, downtown had a little bit of a mini gas issue.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Unfortunately, XL wasn't there, so we didn't get a chance to talk to them. But it was good information. It's just even sitting at the table, and we were sitting with another one of the pipeline guys, and I don't know.
Is it Alliance down there? Who is it?
You mean down in St. Paul?
No, the pipeline that was there.
There was a bunch of them.
Oh, there was
all
different
of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ambridge, Coke.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff I've never heard before.
I think Alliance runs a lot down
there. Minigas to a lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of the big ones.
But it was just interesting, though, to hear even between the different gas companies on how they would deal with certain things.
Yeah.
One thing we did learn though is if we're going to turn off gas, we don't touch that. We let the company touch the gas.
Yeah,
we don't touch it. No, because you can cause more damage, you know, bigger explosions than what you probably got going on.
Yeah. But it was good. I recommend if next time it's offered, you know, everybody if they get a chance to go to it as well.
Yeah.
Was the food good?
It was at the Legion. Yeah. It was free.
Just wondering.
Anything else, Steve or Jeremy, want to add to it?
My only thing, I just think next time we attend, you know, I'll push to make sure that we have Excel there, because it would be good to have them there. And other thing I inquired on with our local representative is that they could get in touch with us so we would know who we would coordinate things through.
Mm-hmm.
Because the big thing is us, as you're well aware, we had that incident here last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been here 20 years, that's the first time we had something like that. You know, so it was kind of nice to have this class so you know what to go through and what you can expect if you do experience something like that.
911, they'll handle everything from there.
Pretty much, and that was kind of the concept we got. It was called dispatch.
Yep. 911, and Scotty, keep your fingers off that gas line or I'll slap them until you can't. Because I pinched them off already and I've gotten.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on then to the conditional use permit / variance request from Councilman Trevish for the storage containers.
All right, so Steve did get his pin located here, just looking at the property here. So basically, ignore this line, because really this line should be over here. County database is off a little bit, because the one pin's right here, and the other pin's just right back behind it, right there. So basically, I think I looked at it, Steve had that pin put in, so that pin's there now. And basically what we're looking at is, it's 12 inches over.
Yeah.
So basically what we're looking tonight is, now that we have the pin, we know the location, what we'll be looking is we want to move forward with the conditional use permit, along with approving the conditional use permit, that we would grant the variance, you know, a 5-foot variance, which would allow Mr. Trevish, you know, to go up, right up to the property line. My requirement was just that we, you know, even though he owns the property next door, like I said, we run into that jurisdictional issue of township, city limits. But just that that container be placed entirely upon his property. So that's kind of where we're at. I think the big holdup was we were looking for the that back property pin here, which, like I said, don't go by this. It's right over here. And it just kind of runs right, there's that rock right there, and it's right there, runs straight back to there.
Well, I think at the last meeting there was more people for Steve than against him moving a container in, so I don't see no reason why they feel that he's going to help to put some of his stuff away and get some of his stuff away. I don't see no reason why we should not go ahead and grant him this, because now that he's got his pin, we know exactly where the line is. He can adjust according to what he needs to adjust to, and if he needs to bring his other container in, that's my feeling of it, because I'm going off of what I read from the previous last month's meeting with Dega and some of the other ones that were here. I mean, I heard more good things than I did bad things, so if we're here to serve the public, I think we do it according to their wishes, and it's not our judgment call, it's what the city wants, not us. It's my feeling, right?
I agree with that. That's kind of the sense I got. I mean, container's already there, and there's one more going right behind it.
Exactly. Let's just get it moved over to where it needs to be, and so we're all legal and should be good, I would think.
There's a motion then that we can put at the bed, or do we have to have another public hearing?
No, just a motion to approve the conditional use permit and easements, and then I will have it drafted up and put it in the consent agenda for final approval in March.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the conditional use permit and variance as requested for by Councilman Trubbish for storage containers on his property 45-0285-282500. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Trubbish would say. Passes. Good. Stormwater easement.
Okay, so along with that, it's kind of hard to see in here, but I think it's somewhere, you know, on this property we have, just trying to get, let me zoom out a bit. So, we have stormwater, and it runs to the ditch here. So basically,
the ditch is up a little more, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You can see the outlet there.
So, right here?
No, it's...
Is that about where the manhole is?
No, the manhole is this way. It's just about on the edge of the...
Because I think you have two of them, correct?
Yep. Yeah, there's two of them. One on the other property.
But the one that comes straight down.
Yeah. It should be right on that corner.
It's on the edge of the gravel. I think it's pretty much in line if you see where... You see the outlet going into the ditch. Just where the arrow is, go about straight up and... It'd be pretty darn close.
Should be one swarm ball right there.
Yep.
And then the other one is right underneath that truck. Right there. And then it comes across.
No, up Steve, straight down. You see the outlet to the ditch? There. No, up Steve. Up right there. That's the outlet.
That's the outlet?
Yep. Yep, that's the outlet to the ditch.
No, that's
no.
Into the park. Ditch is right here.
Yeah.
Well, is there an outlet there coming down from the road then, from that other manhole?
Right.
Alright, so that's too far.
Right about there is a
touchy.
Right about right there, there should be a manhole on the railroad property, within 25 feet from the center of the tracks. It should be right in there. And then that one there comes across this way, to that manhole, and then it dumps into the ditch.
Oh, I'm too far over.
Because I think there's a manhole over here, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right there, and then one... Right in here,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then that runs
this way. And this way.
So then that.
Like it starts up here, Jeremy.
Yes, correct. It
starts up here, right there in that corner. At that intake, it cuts across from my property to that first manhole there. And it comes to this manhole, which goes farther back.
Reminds me of grade school.
Not quite.
No, when you put the sheet of paper up there and you would draw out whatever it was you didn't color.
Let's get the color crayons.
So basically got it comes here and then goes to the ditch.
Yeah. Comes down.
So the big issue here is that's been there since the 80s. I don't know if something didn't get filed or what back in the 80s, because this seems like it kind of coincided with the same time that back in the 80s when allegedly the city bought this parcel and it didn't get filed. So the problem we have is there's no easement here
but
the property.
But going across the tracks, there's an easement.
The tracks, there is. The railroad.
Underneath
what,
the tracks.
What they own right now. Yeah. But nothing here.
No, with the railroad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a...
But on Steve's property, there isn't.
There is nothing, no.
Yeah, and how did... I don't know how that ball got dropped.
I don't either.
18, because I checked with Jewel again, and he came to the shop actually today after I talked to you this morning. He came to the shop, and he told me what was underneath there. There's 40 feet of hard pipe, 20 inch, going underneath the tracks, and we had to have a permit That he could find. But RCM at that time should have had the easement drawn from there to the city, because that was still railroad, at that time it was still railroad property.
Yep, and I...
And all they got is the stuff under the track.
Right.
That's what he told me today, and what he could find.
And I thought, well, so I went and had an abstract made up, and I told him what I was looking for, and he says, there's nothing. There was never, ever nothing. No agreement that he can find, nothing.
Yeah, and I've had our engineers look, I've looked, nothing yeah. recorded at the county, can't find nothing. So the big thing is, as you can see the email, I kind of wrote to Mac a while back about this, trying to see what we can do to iron out. And I guess we'll have to see what Mr. Trevish wants to do. But going back to this, as you can see here, there's a thing called, which would be a prescriptive easement, which Mac has stated to me that in court that would hold up. And what a prescriptive easement is basically something that's been there for a long period of time that has been mapped, it's known about, but there's nothing in writing. So my question is, I kind of get the inkling, Steve, that you want to look at that we have something drafted or some type, well, something in writing or...
On the purchase agreement from the railroad, on line number 8, whatever that means, it says there's no storm sewer, no drains, no sewer lines, nothing on the premises. So they didn't know about it. And I don't know where Mac is getting this from, but I got it down to a lawyer down in Minneapolis through work, and he says that might hold up for normal people, but for United States government, nobody squats on United States government property, which is railroad. So I don't know where Mac is coming from. Kind of turned me off about that snow contract thing about Mac, you know. That was my book was a bogus thing. This here, I think he's trying to pump smoke up my ass, you know. I think he's buffaloing me.
Well, but, I don't think he is. He's basically, he had directed me too to see what you wanted to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I asked about it a couple months ago and there was nothing going on. So now this lawyer's got. So did he get a hold of somebody?
In relation to what?
To this? This lawyer? Or he's going through the railroad then because they sold it to me.
Well, Matt's stance was to bring it up to council as if they, you know, and I don't know, maybe I need Matt to put something in writing, but he had stated to me that it would be considered a prescriptive easement.
I don't know.
Disagree, your lawyer disagrees, he says that.
Yeah.
So it's a he said, she said, so I'm bringing it forth to council to see what we want to do to correct this measure.
We got to have something in writing because it goes through there, and I mean, there could be a time when a pipe breaks or something and then we need to get in there and dig, and we just don't want to go digging up Steve's property without the least of right.
Yeah. And the reason Jake is here, Jake is one of the owners, me, Tammy, and Jake own it, and he wanted to put his ideal shop right there. And now we can't do nothing with it except mow grass. So, I don't know. But it's in the hands of the lawyer now. I can't say yay or nay on anything right now. So, I don't know what's happening with it. That's why I asked if you heard anything.
I guess what I need to know, Mac had asked me, is do you want something in writing? An easement? Do you want him to move forward on something in writing to obtain an easement on the property?
I can get you the address and the phone number of this lawyer. I'm out of it now.
Okay.
I'm
if you could do that, then I could have Mac touch base with him.
Because this guy is, I ain't saying nothing because he'll slap me. He's got two stars behind his name.
We'll let them battle it out.
Yeah.
he got two stars behind his name, and I said, what are those for? That's for a super lawyer. He's in the U.S. bank building downtown, and I'm going, okay. Which floor? I go to suite 2606. I'm going, okay, we're on the second floor here. Oh, no, we're on the 26th floor. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but, yeah, here's the other thing. The city is getting about $26,000 a year from residents. Storm sewer going across that, or down that tube, you know. Plus $1,200 of my dollars going across my own property. Not a good idea. Not when I want it, you know. No. that's one thing, you know. Anyway.
Let's give Jeremy the information, yeah. And we'll have the two-star lawyers arm wrestle or something.
Yeah. His name is Steve.
Wait a second.
Steve Warner.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll move on then, unless there's any other questions. We'll move on to new city business. First item of topic is a lovely letter from former Councilman Richard Odoms in regards to a request made to ensure that we retain all potential evidence consisting of, and of course there on the screen is what he is doing. By state statute, the city is required to do all of those things that is listed up there, so not exactly sure.
What's he asking for?
He's asking for us to retain all of that information.
We do that anyway.
Exactly.
and remember, we went back. If he wants any of that, he's more than welcome to come. But if
so, there's a record retention schedule that we have to follow.
Yeah, right.
So we would just follow that.
He's not at this point
in accordance to statute.
Yeah, he's not requesting any information. He's just trying to make sure we understand that we're supposed to retain the information, which I do find a little ironic, considering the fact that we were the ones who were trying to make sure that we safeguarded the private data and the information.
But if he comes up and wants something for Jeremy to dig up, there's a bill for that, $30 an hour or something, isn't it, like that?
Correct. Yeah. It would have to be on the proper paperwork.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he didn't get it for nothing.
And all this information that is on here, you know, probably 99% of it is on the city website. Except for the closed meeting.
Right.
So all public information is provided, but private data is concealed.
The notification of all the closed meetings are out there. It's just what was discussed and is deemed private data by statute.
That's private. That.
So what? Okay.
Very good.
Norwood Area, Young America Area Guide. I know we've done this ever since I've been on council.
Yeah.
Is there anyone we can?
It's like from the 50s.
Better photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or unless Tamara's got some other artistic suggestions.
We can maybe get some new pictures of the paint on this. Just that schematic on the wall or
stencil,
stage view with that, yeah.
I'm all for this, but let's see if we can get a different picture, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe spruce it up a little bit and say newly updated Amber Hall.
Highlight the changes we've made. Because I tell you, more and more I've gone in there, it looks a lot brighter.
Gotten a lot of compliments.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's just too bad this council don't do nothing.
Do we need a motion to go on the guide or no?
Yeah, I would say we just have a motion.
Entertain
for
motion.
We do the smallest, typically fourth page.
Quarter page.
Yeah. So I look for a motion to approve a quarter page ad.
I'll make a motion for a quarter page
ad.
Advertisement.
in the Norwich American Times or Guide.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve a quarter page ad in the Norwood Young America Guide. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Next is the Urban Land Institute membership. The last couple of months, we had another meeting on Monday. The Regional Council of Mayors, I found out now in a conversation with Aubrey, who heads up this group, is one of the members of this group that is on the administration side of things. The Urban Land Institute is the funding mechanism for the Region Council of Mayors. And there are some benefits that we would get by either being an associate member or a full-fledged member that we wouldn't get just by being at the Regional Council of Mayors. And that's what's kind of listed in the sheet there with the bullet points in that. I've talked to a couple of mayors that are there and who have used it. All of them were full-fledged members, but none of them said that there was anything like aha moments or anything like that, that they couldn't have got it with an associate member necessarily. I think the difference is $200 for the government. We would all be registered as members with the OI, which means that we all would be able to attend the UI meetings and take advantage of the special forums they have or any of the other things. You may be wondering, okay, why do we want to do something like this? One of the benefits of this is we are the last pebble of the seven county metro area on the southwest side of things. We kind of get forgotten though because of where we're located. But everything that gets done with groups like this, or the Met Council, or Greater MSP, or at the city, or at St. Paul, it's going to impact us. Until there's a move for us to go south or west, and out of Carver County, which I don't believe that's going to be a feasible thing to do, but we're going to be impacted by all those groups. So being able to stay plugged into them in one form or another, I think would benefit, you know, especially as we talk about what our 2040 comp plan, as we talk about things that, you know, Mr. Stewie is looking to do, or Lois is looking to do and things like that, or just if we just try to figure out how can we feasibly get this done out here in the industrial park. This group has got a lot of resources that we could tap into. So it's because I've been to two meetings and I included some information in there from the last regional council meeting, and it's been enlightening. And of course, it doesn't hurt to, you know, rub some elbows and get to know the players who actually make some of the decisions that maybe we can influence.
Driving those cars.
So I figured I'd bring it to the council and see what the thoughts are about joining.
So you made it sound like associate member would be.
I think we can start off with the associate membership. And go there, and like I say, the two mayors that I've talked to a lot about this, one of them doesn't go anymore, and he's gone forever and day, and now doesn't go anymore. But then the one that is there goes, and they were both full fledged members, but they really didn't see a huge disparity, even though there's some bullet points on the membership list, but not a huge disparity between two. And I, like I say, it's like $110 for the associate and 300 and something or 400 and something for the full. So, yeah.
So would it be 220 for associate government, 50% off? Yeah, 220.
If you could scroll down, isn't it listed down, guys? Yeah, you're right. 220.
Yeah. And then 305 for the full.
And 305. So yeah. So it's about $175 difference between the two of them. So, like I say, I don't, you know, if we want to test it, associate, be good to go. You know, it might be a cheap investment for us to be able to get that water tower taken care of. That's my prime driver every time I go down to these meetings. Who is the person who I have to needle to get information from? To find either a grant or a program or money any way we can.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea.
It's
especially for that reason.
What's the difference between an associate and a full member?
There's just some additional special forums and things of that nature.
You can participate on certain committees.
Yeah. I think it's beneficial if it's going to help on the water tower. That's the main thing. This is a cheap, maybe a key to get in or something, you know, I'm for that.
Any other thoughts from council? Council Morgan team, Council Bowman?
Let's do it.
Then I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
We're moved and seconded to become an associate member of ULI. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Park rental fee, additional day.
I've had someone approach me. I've never had this before, but they're looking to have a wedding in the park, and they wanted to know if there would be a discounted fee for an additional day. I mean, the park's $150. Another day would be $150. Is kind of the concept, you know. But they want to know if there's a, and I said we don't have nothing set other than another rental fee. I don't know if the council wants to entertain that or just keep it, you know, at $150 for an additional day.
See, I don't know if the lights get cheaper on the second day or not. You know, I mean, really, come on.
No. I would say if it goes to the second day, it starts a whole new rental day.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Be my feeling on it.
I agree. Yeah, that's pretty cut and dry.
I think we got enough traction. Sure. Move on to Personnel Committee 2018 items.
Just looking to set up a meeting in March here, and wanted to get council's input. So if you have anything that you would like the Personnel Committee to tackle this year, to either you can express it now or send me an email or just stop in, talk to me, add it to the agenda.
Kind of zoning or anything, or
my big thing right now is ordinances.
That's
what I'm
saying. That's
kind of the top priority right now.
So for the new council members, the personnel committee, in essence, what the group would do is they would do kind of all the work session work in regards to the ordinance or whatever the topic is. So we do it all. They would do all the investigating of it. They would come up with a recommendation to the council, you know, pros, cons, why the decision was, or why the recommendation is being made in the manner it is. And that part of why we use that process is so then we don't sit here till 10 o'clock at night talking about a topic. We try to get all that minutia taken care of. That way we can bring something succinct to the group and say, okay, here's what we found out. Here's what our recommendation is. What are your thoughts? And then to make a decision. So if you have anything ordinance-wise or street assessment-wise, whatever it might be, get it to Jeremy, and then that's one of our items with the personnel committee we're going to try to tackle this year. And it doesn't have to be policy-related. I mean, it can be anything that you want to have us take a look at. So.
And who's all on that committee? Jeremy?
Myself, the mayor, and Councilman Travis. And then just one quick thing I wanted to bring up is I received an email from Mr. Johnson today. Basically looking, it's time to have our public hearing for the comp plan. He has May 8th, which would be our council meeting, open. And he wanted to know if we wanted to do it, you know, before the meeting. He figured it'd only take a half hour. If we wanted to do it before the meeting, or if we wanted to do it on a separate night. Like the first.
That'd be tight for you, Scott. May, are you guys back in action?
We probably are, but I'll...
Well, you, Jason, we then can...
That's fine. We have a meeting. I like before the meeting, personally.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Just guess.
All right. So I'll look for that date, and then I'll have it whatever we decide on, I'll put that on the next agenda.
Anyone else has any new business for the city of Hamburg? We'll move on then to council reports. Council member Bucantin.
I have nothing.
Council member Tracy.
Same as Jason.
Councilman Feldman.
I know we talked before, I heard you guys mention about February 26th or 27th. We may possibly going down to the Capitol. I'd really like to go with, but the 27th will not work for me because I got a class in Arden Hills.
Okay.
So that won't work for me. But if it works for everybody else, I'll just have to skip this one and hopefully I can go again or something.
Yeah, just to give more guidance to the group too. My plan is anyway, and I'm hoping others will be able to work it in their schedule. I know everybody's got different work schedules, so I don't expect everybody, but is to go ahead and try to get down there every other week to try to meet, because if we can get that into the bonding bill, then that's a huge relief for us. You know, if we can get the state of Minnesota to fund 70% or more of that water tower, that'll be a lot easier for us to sit down and do the budget in the fall in that. And so that'll be a good win there. And also when we're going to be sending out the newsletter at either the end of the month or beginning of next month. And I have Jeremy working on some talking points for me, but I'm going to draft a letter that if residents want to just take the letter and sign their name to it and send it to Nash, send it to Jensen, send it to people downtown if they don't have a chance to go down there. And at least I think more correspondence going that way other than just from council might help us win something that we probably have a long shot of winning that. So, but the more of that information will come out and we'll talk about it at another meeting. So you said the 26 works.
26th will work for me, but not the 27th, because I got a erosion control class in Arden Hills. I'll be there all day. And
anything else? Yeah. Okay. Councilman Trevish.
I also would like to go along. I'll go the 26th and the 27th both days. So. Yeah.
Hopefully the 26th will be the day.
Yeah. We got into the habit of being properly dressed for the council meetings and stuff, and we kind of warded off of that. Is there any plans on getting new shirts and stuff?
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Good. Okay. And we brought up about Lois's down there. Is that, I haven't heard anything about that. Is that going yet or not?
She had
called and talked to me about a week and a half ago that she was going to look at townhomes with her builder, and I haven't heard back from her. But I think she's still looking to pursue it. One of the other options, like I had stated earlier, she's looking to pursue is if she can have her own development done. Basically, she can pick the people who she wants. And so I'm trying to get some information back from our engineers as to how we would go about that, so I can give some information back to the council.
As you're saying, Jeremy, is it her own, like, you mean her own builders or her own contractor?
Yeah, she wants to bring in her own contractors, but then
really?
Then the city take care of it. So I've never done anything of that nature. So I kind of need to know the pros and cons of that from the engineer so I can present that. I'm trying to get some information to present to you if we were to go that way, what the pros and cons of that would be.
And is she going to use, which I say, Justin Bach yet? Do we have to pay for that, or is she paying for that? Or is she going to use that because he would want to use the right pipe or whatever for...
Well, my requirement would be is that if we kind of went the private development, is that it would all have to be done to our engineer specs.
Right. Yeah.
She can get her own engineer, but ours has to finalize out on
it. Yeah, ours would review it and say, yep, looks good, okay.
I was just wondering, because I know we allotted some money for that, and I didn't know where that was, how that was going, we allotted some money for out here, and that kind of went, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what was happening there.
Yeah, so I haven't really, the thing is I try to take a minimal approach for two reasons. One, not to overextend the city's budget on things,
yeah. mm-hmm.
And two, part of the minimal approach is until I have some drawing or paperwork or plat or something, it's hard for me to do anything. Mm-hmm. So until really I have something that says, well, this is what we want to do. It doesn't pay for the city to, put a lot of cost into it. Really, same with Lois as well as Mike, the bottom line is it feasible?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So really we've got those numbers for Lois. So we did do that. We're gonna kinda do the same thing for Mike. Well then as far as I'm concerned, then it's in their court.
Yeah. I just want tonight Justin was about a fire board and I don't know if that's gonna come on these two dates.
He's still working on it.
Okay. I just
because he's shot me enough. Yeah, I will. I'll keep you in the loop. Yep, definitely.
That should do it. Hopefully tomorrow is a nice warm day.
Mm. Anything else?
No, that should do it.
Just a couple of things I have. Southwest Transit Corridor Coalition meeting, I think, that got sent out to everybody. And that just the notes that was there. Just again, they were just a lot about transportation. The interesting part about that I found out, or learned, I should say, is that how they've been asking us for letters of recommendation or that support. When it goes to scoring, even if we'd sent a letter, it bears nothing on the scoring because we're not on 212. So apparently it's only the jurisdictions that touch whatever that project is that gets counted in the scoring.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay. If we wanted to, we could still give a letter of support, but it's not gonna
mean anything.
Not gonna happen. They're not gonna get an extra point for handwork. And they presented in front of the Carver County Commissioners about kind of what their process was, where they were at, where they're hoping that maybe we could get some funding. There are two projects that are on the table to hopefully get done in the immediate future and basically try to get that four lanes all the way out to Norwood, Young America.
And say immediate future?
In the next 5 to 10 years.
Oh. So nothing, anything but immediate.
At least they can haul me down the cemetery in the new road anyway.
You wanted to go four lanes all the way to Hutchinson, right?
What's that?
You?
No, no, yeah. I don't think McLeod County cares what I think.
5 to 10, meeting 20.
Yeah, that is one of the things that's interesting by going to these different groups and meetings. The definition of immediate and soon and all that varies from group to group.
Yeah,
it's just amazing in that. And at the Carver County Leaders Meeting. We did get an update from my council and kind of where they're at with their things as far as trying to update their 2040 comp plan, which obviously is something we touched on just a little bit ago about doing that before our meeting in May. I do find it very interesting that there's very little talk about autonomous vehicles in the 2040 comp plan, but yet a lot of groups that I've been sitting and talking to lately, there's a lot of talk about autonomous vehicles being here in our near future. By what they mean being in our near future is the next 12 years, where we'll have a kind of a blend on the roads of people who actually physically could drive their own cars and where there's nobody driving the car other than the computer.
So then when they build 212 being four lanes, one of those lanes will be for those vehicles.
Possibly. Or maybe. They claim that they can get more traffic. If it's 100% autonomous,
they get more traffic on it than what we can get on it today, because everything's just kind of linked, and you know, you can travel so much closer to the car in front of you because everything's talking to each other.
Oh, you should drive a truck once in a while. You'd be surprised how close they can travel.
Surgically attached?
Yeah. It's like an umbilical cord between them. Yeah.
And then the only other thing I had, I didn't have on there, I know I had talked with Jeremy about potentially getting name tags. So what I envisioned was, you know, not as we start going to downtown to try to get our water tower, or as we represent us, whether it's at a core event or any other type of event, it's just getting a name tag that's magnetic, so it can just go on, because it's, you know, they usually have "Hello, my name is," and you write your name, and you put it on, and you know, 15 minutes later, you're like, "Well, where'd my name tag go?" And that, you're there, you feel like you're in an AA meeting, I don't know, but it's just one way that maybe we can look just a
it
little
don't
bit
look
more professional.
Professional, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Look a little bit professional.
Can you just get it sewn right on the jacket or the shirt?
I suppose you could, but then, you know, what if you sew your shirt?
You were there, Steve. You were suit and tie, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry. I'm right.
Do we want just name, council member, name,
city.
Mayor, simple.
Yeah. Right.
And the city.
You know, the city.
In the city, yeah. And if it's possible, and I know, like, I've seen why I sent you a picture of these. Yeah. If it's, you know, if it's feasible, again, I don't want to make it $15 a name tag, but if it's feasible to put this on there
the
somehow
in there,
and that, that'd
sure.
be kind of cool. Or in the background or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to put City of Hamburg if we can get it. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wearing.
You got a hubcap up there.
Maybe in the background, if we could just show.
I'll work with the mayor. I'll work with the mayor on it.
So yeah, in that. But that's. So the interesting point out of when we talk about these autonomous vehicles, in 2019, Ford's going to unveil this program called Maven, and what that is you're going to be able to subscribe with Ford. And per your prescription or subscription, depending on I don't know the details of it. Basically, what that means is if you have to leave the house at 5 o'clock, there'll be a car waiting for you at 5 o'clock. And if you leave the office at 4 o'clock, the car will be waiting for you at 4 o'clock. And if you're one who likes to go to the lake, if you're leaving at 3 o'clock on Friday to go to the lake, the truck will be waiting there for you to pick your way up. And just it'll be, instead of having to buy a car, you just buy a subscription, and depending on what your need is for that weekday or whatever, they will provide it for you. So the reason that they gave was that automakers are finding out quite quickly that the money going into the future is through fees and reoccurring revenue versus just making new cars.
So
kind of
like a
Uber,
but
they're all doing that. Ford wasn't. I mean, that's the only one they talked about. So, if anybody does anything else, I'll entertain.
One quick notation: next Tuesday, Wednesday, we got the audit.
And Monday's a holiday.
Monday's holiday. Yeah,
we'll get your. If nothing's further, then I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So be it.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn the city council meeting for Hamburg on February 13th, 2018 at 8:38. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Or adjourned?